sinners got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. And if you're out and about, busy working out, no matter what you're doing, crossing the borders, illegally getting 4-star hotel in New York as an illegal and a car, a credit card and a telephone and free education, you can still be listening to the show. You can podcast later, but you can listen while you're in line getting your free stuff by calling 641-793-1500. That's 641-793-1500. Don't forget, we have every way that you can watch it and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. Support us on social media. Social media. And like, follow, ring the bell, blah, blah, blah. And to donate to have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP on Cash App. It's Monday. Every Monday is Female Monday. Amazing.
I like to make men uncomfortable.
All my life I had to fight.
Let women take over.
Some of us believe that women are getting paid less than men.
I proudly say I'm a feminist. Thank you.
Deep in their soul, they want to be home with those babies. We've been lied to for so long.
Amazing. Brand new biblical question. Who is God? Who is God? Do you know God? Who is God? Do you know God? I want to go quickly back to Pete out of Ohio, first-time caller. And Pete wants to know if women have love or not. Right, Pete?
Right.
Do
Correct.
You believe, before I respond, do you believe women have love or no love?
Well, that's kind of my dilemma. I do believe that women have love. And, I mean, that's kind of something that I've believe my whole life because, you know, people have love.
And why do you believe women have love?
I believe that I've been shown love and loved by women my whole life, throughout my life. Women I've been in relationships with, married to, my mother, family, friends, and I guess that's why I've been conditioned to believe.
Right. If it's love that you think that they have in those relationships you've been in, why it never lasts?
Amazing.
Amazing.
So should that affect the way that I treat women or talk to them?
If you believe that they have love, why it never lasted with the women you've been involved in, the ones you know and all that? Why it never lasts? Why does it always never last if it's love?
That is the question. Wow. That's something I'm going to have to really really sit with. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
And why haven't you pondered that? If I think these women have love, how come it never works? Why it always turn into a mess if it's love? Why haven't you pondered that before?
Well, I have. I have. And that's kind of why I'm calling to, like,
right.
get well, your insight on that.
Women all have hate. And that so-called feel-good feeling they get is hate. That's not love. And it just disguises itself as love. Real love has no feeling. Real love requires nothing from anyone. It doesn't want anything from anyone. It doesn't need anything from anyone. It stands on its own. But that you thought or think that women have, it's only hate. Women do not have love.
Mm.
Women are looking for love. And they never get it because they never got it from their father. Their mothers made sure of that. And then when they meet men, they never get it. They always get sex and not love. But they're all looking for it. They just don't have it, though.
That actually makes, like, a lot of sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. And men don't have love either on their own. It comes from God. God and Christ. Christ and man over woman, woman over children, right? The love comes from above. That comes through the woman comes from below. It's of their father, the devil.
Yes.
And the devil pretend to be God.
I got it. Yeah. On the part about the men whose love comes through God, I'm very clear on that.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Jesse. Big fan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
All right, buddy. Let me go to Denny out of Bulgaria. Denny, there's one line open, by the way, 888-77-DESS. Denny, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's see. Hold on, Brian. Don't hang up. Hey, Denny.
Hey, Mr. Peterson. Can you hear me well?
Loud and clear.
All right, good. Mr. Peterson, I'm calling to share a few good advices my father gave me when I was a child. It's basically everything you're talking about. And I was very little. I was 6, 7, something like that. And I don't remember what happened because it was so long ago, but I went back home and I was angry. And he asked me what was going on. I said, nothing, everything is fine. And I went to my room. And he came to me and he said, listen, if you don't want to talk about it, I respect that. But don't ever lie to me like that again because you can never hide from me. Everything that you're going through is something I've been through. If you don't want to talk to it, you don't want to talk about it. That's okay. But I understand everything that you're going through. So if you want to talk about it, I'm here. And just don't lie to me. All right. And it was, you know how you said every kid is like that with a father? I was like that too. And it was the very good advice he gave me.
Did he protect you? Did your father protect you from your mother?
Yeah.
And how did he protect you?
They were actually a team. They always have been. And every time there was, like, when they had an issue or something, they just sent me away to my grandparents. They resolved it on their own. I honestly don't remember seeing them having scandals or shouting at one another when I was younger. Their focus was mostly on me not understanding that there were problems.
And
I kind of felt it.
I'm sorry?
Say again?
You kind of felt it?
Yeah, because, you know, children are sensitive that way. They do sense that something is not exactly okay. It was quite a difficult period when I was young. But he understood that, and both of them understood that. So,
well, how did your father expect you to learn how to deal with women if he didn't allow you to see him dealing with your mother?
That wasn't dealing with the woman. It was something completely different, so the example that I gave you. Okay. And,
but I asked you, did he protect you from your mother? And you said yes, and he did it by sending you away. And so
no, that.
But
that
how would that teach you to deal with the women you got involved with if he sent you away rather than doing it in front of you?
I meant that she sent me away when I was a child, when I was younger, and when I was a teenager when we started talking about dealing with women. Those are completely different time frames and situations.
But when you were small, he didn't allow you to see him dealing with your mother?
No, not really.
And why not?
Well, that kind of, you know, scandals in the matter, like, they were arguing with one another. When they were arguing with one another, they really didn't want me to see them argue.
And why not?
I have no idea.
Have you never asked, well, how am I supposed to deal with women when I grow up if I don't see a father supposed to deal with his wife, your mother, with patience and perfect love and correct her? And as you observe that, it shows you how to deal with them, too, and it draws you closer to your father. You never ask him, why didn't you let me see you deal with her when I was little?
It wasn't necessary because, actually, he actually told me how to do it. First of all, when it came to dating, that's another advice he gave me.
Is it better to let you see it or to tell you about it?
It depends.
On what?
And on the situation.
Meaning what?
Well, for example, when I was started dating, he gave me that advice. You like a girl, you like a woman, you ask once. If the answer is no, you wish her well, and you never ask again. That's how it is.
But
it doesn't happen.
An adult, you never ask him why didn't he do that, be an example for you like that?
No, not really, no.
Didn't it ever cross your mind?
It never did. I somehow always internally knew.
Amazing.
It was like an intuition, like a reflex. You know, when there is a dog that's tied to a pole and starts bark at you and you kind of move aside, although the dog is tied, it's a reflex. It's like that.
But we're not supposed to act like animals like that. And you're right. That is the animal nature. That reflect is the animal nature. And we're supposed to, as human beings, overcome the animal nature of reflect.
I definitely don't believe all the reflexes are part of the animal nature. Some reflexes are... basically there as an instinct.
Like what, you know, for example?
I know you talk to a lot of people. Let's say you go to a conference and somebody is talking and you can simply spot that this person isn't genuine. This person is lying. That's a reflex. You just have this internal knowledge that it's not okay to believe everything this person is saying.
But there's no reflex to it because... When you're of the truth, when you know, you die from that old nature, that animal nature, that reflective nature, there is no reflect at all in truth. It's unmovable.
Reflex is, how to explain, you know, like when you hear a sound and you turn your head to see it. You know, you just... like a reaction to it. That's what I mean by reflex.
But in truth, there is no reaction to anything.
To react.
Why?
Well, you know, let's just say you're driving the car and out of nowhere there's a kid with a bow and you have to react. It's a reflex to step on the brake.
But you just gave me a practical example. You're right. You got to put your feet on the brakes. But spiritually, you don't react to anything inwardly, because the truth is you can't touch. There's no reflection to it. It just is.
Right, but I gave you the practical example with the dog as well. Just because it's tied and it starts to bark at you, you move aside as a reflex. It's a practical example. You don't know if it's going to bite you or not. That's what I meant.
But. Okay, I understand. But it's interesting, Danny, that your father would not allow you to see him dealing with your mother, because our parents are supposed to be a living example and not a wordy example. You can't really teach them. You can teach them intellectually with words, but that's not helping them in reality. It's just intellectual knowledge. But I appreciate that, man. Wise advice that he told you about the other thing.
Yeah, she did. She died, a few days ago.
Who?
And, yeah.
Your father died recently?
Yeah, he did.
Well, may his soul rest in peace.
Ah, thank you, Mr. Peterson.
How old was he?
71.
Oh, yeah? May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, thank you. And I just wanted to give that advice because to tell you that situation, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate
you can never
that.
Hide from me because I'm just like you.
Amazing.
And everything. And it's everything you're talking about, and I really wanted to share because I know young fathers are listening to you.
Right
program,
on.
So.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate that, buddy. Amazing.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Kind regards to your audience and your colleagues, and God be with you, sir.
You too, buddy. Thank you, Danny. Amazing. May your daddy's soul rest in peace. Gone too soon, hates that. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Umberto out of New Jersey. Umberto, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Peterson?
All is well.
I want to ask you a question. Donald Trump, how are you going to do in the primary in California, New York? What do you think? Are you going to win in California, the primary, or are you going to win both in November also? I want to know how you predict that.
You know, it's a good question, but I really don't know. It's hard to know right now, especially with everything being so messy and you can't trust anyone. And so I just have a wait and see. But I do know if ever we needed him to win, we need him now. But I just don't know, Umberto. That's a good question.
I want to ask you a good question. Who you think he can pick the vice president? You think? And the problem is everybody says Tim Scott in South Carolina, Senator Tim Scott. I don't know.
Well, I pray that he does not pick Tim Scott. Tim Scott is weak. He's a beta male. He's a mama's boy. He got on his knees to ask some woman at the beach, according to the picture, to marry him. Tim Scott is a mama boy. He believes racism exists. Tim Scott would not be a good candidate as VP. I'm not sure. I like Larry Elder. I think Larry would be good. I like, there's this guy from Ohio. He's a congressman, I guess. He seemed to be really well. I don't know, but I definitely don't think it should be Tim Scott. That's for sure.
And you think Trump going to win the 14th state tomorrow, right? The Super Tuesday.
I hope so. I believe so. I hope so.
Okay. Thank you for your advice, and God bless you, and be well.
I will, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. It's hard to know, folks. I'm telling you, the one thing, if I haven't learned anything in life, I've learned to have a wait-and-see attitude about all things. You cannot go wrong, men and women, if you have a wait-and-see attitude about all things. About all things. Scott, there's a line open at 888-7753-773. Scott from Colorado. Scott, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, my friend. How are you, Jesse?
All is well. How you doing?
Doing good, man.
Amazing.
missing my wife, Debbie, but not being depressed like you suggested when I called you a while back.
Yeah, I was going to ask right now, what is it like having a wife for so long, amazing wife, by the way, and now she's gone? What's that like for you?
It's like a fog. It's like I'm walking around in a fog.
Yeah.
Like it's not, and it's like a dream that I haven't woken up from yet. Yeah, that's what it's like.
That's amazing. You, do you find yourself talking to her sometimes, though she's not there?
You know, less and less, but I did it more right after than I do now, admittedly.
Would you ever get married again?
I mean, I haven't even thought about that at this point in time.
And
I would say no right off the bat.
Right on. Yeah, enjoying your life, your grandkids and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got plenty of those to deal with. So.
Yeah. Well, again, man, may her soul rest in peace. I'm glad I got to know her.
Yeah, so am I. I'm glad you did, too. And I'm glad she got to know you as well. So.
It was amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I just want to let you know that years ago, you may remember that you advised me to forgive my mother because of issues I had with her growing up because she was so ultra critical of all of us children. And now she's 92 years old. She still lives back in Iowa, in the house we grew up in, all by herself, goes and gets her own groceries and goes to the Y and works out and she's still pretty far left, but because I forgave her, and we're just careful what we talk about so that we don't get into arguments anymore. Because I don't need to argue with my 92-year-old mother. She does not need that or deserve that. And we're getting along beautifully. I've talked to her a couple times a week. So
that's amazing. She's 92. That's amazing.
Yeah, she's
doing all
really
life.
Good. You never know it by looking at her or listening to her, but. But your advice years ago for me to, you know, let go and forgive her really, really turned that ship around for me and for her and our relationship. And I just wanted to let you know that after this much time, and thank you again for that.
You're welcome, man. It's amazing. If every human being were to just forgive, truly forgive, we could have peace on earth right now. It can happen
amen,
in an
brother.
Instant.
Yeah.
Amazing.
By the way, I'm identifying as a female today, so you can call me ma'am. It's a female Monday.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
That's amazing. Well, Scott, it's
all
good
right,
to
Jeff.
Hear from you, man. And
I'll call again.
Good. Stay with her, right?
Yeah.
All right,
thank
brother.
You, Jesse.
You're welcome.
See you, brother.
Amazing.
Bye.
Amazing. Let me go to, there's a line open. Brian out of North Carolina. Brian, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jesse. What a great call that was just now.
I know. Amazing. I've known Scott and his wife for a long time, man.
That's really amazing. And what he said about his relationship with his mother now was really amazing.
90-something years old. That's the way people used to live. Men and women used to live to be that old. I know my grandmother aged folks. Her friends and people that lived down the road, and they died at 110 and 90 something, and they didn't die young; they died old.
Yep.
Michelle was 100 and some. Miss Seagirl was like 110, I think.
I believe it.
Miss May lived.
Jesse, you've been cracking me up all day, man. You've been up here singing. I can hear you hitting them notes. You've just been cracking me up all day.
That's funny. Did you ever know Miss May? Miss Seagirl?
That's some old names.
Miss Seagirl and Mr. Robert lived down the road from us. And I remember one morning I woke up and I heard all this noise outside the house in the middle of the road. And my grandmother and Mr. Robert were fighting. And my grandmother had Mr. Robert down on the ground beating him up. I'm like, what the?
What?
Yeah, she beat Mr. Robert.
Was your grandmama a big mama woman?
She wasn't. My grandmother was kind of tall and skinny, pretty. She had Indian hair. And she was pretty, but she was strong. I think because she worked those cotton fields.
Oh, yeah, that'll probably do it to you. when them corn fed hay bale throwing women.
I'm telling you, man. What the? Amazing.
But yes, sir. So I called in because I wanted to talk about the church service you had yesterday, which was amazing. That was a really amazing church service.
It was more than a notion, folks. Check it out at rebuildingtheman.com/church. It was a blessing.
It was. And the biblical question was, what is hell?
From last week?
Yes, sir.
What is hell?
Yeah, and hell is the mind. And it's funny how everybody that lives in their head, you can't get through to them, and it's because they love it, but nobody wants to admit that they do love their hell. And in church, I noticed right towards the end of right before the guy stormed out, you were being funny. Well, not really being funny, but just kind of going along. You were like, "No, don't leave." And then everybody else in the church like went inside of their mind and then found this like good side and started being like, "No, don't leave." And then you turned around and you were like, "I'm just playing, y'all. Jump on that."
When I was asking him to stay, I was hoping that he would sit in his pain, whatever he was feeling right then, to kind of sit in it and not run from it or run from within himself, not run from it or get up and leave, because the only way all of us is going to overcome that hell, we got to sit through the hell in order to overcome the hell, that old nature. And I was hoping to do that, but maybe he just wasn't ready yet. But I know him. He's been coming around for a minute. I think that I just don't see him giving up. I think he'll be fine.
And I was, and I'm glad to hear you say that right there at the end too, Jesse, because I'm right there. I don't even know this guy, but what I do know is that once people see what's really going on, however you see them reacting to it, they cannot turn away from that. And if they just stay with it a little bit, it'll get better and better and better.
Yeah.
But
and I don't know. It might have been good that he did leave. I don't know. But I was hoping that he would just sit through it. But we'll see. Oh, and by the way, folks, we're having a men's forum this Thursday night. I forgot to mention that. This Thursday night, the first Thursday of every month, the men's forum. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was just. When I was on hold, I thought about this analogy of how the mind is like. You're given this first class ticket to hop on this plane that's already on fire, but you don't know it. And then you're taking this plane in first class, and it's so luxurious, and it's everything you want, and you don't want to let go of it. And if the stewardess came, the black stewardess came down the aisle and told you to get up out of your seat, you'd be like, "How dare you? No, you're not taking this away from me." And that's what's happening in the mind with people. Whether they know they love it or not, it's like you're headed towards hell, and you see it. You can see that it's on fire. If you can see that it's on fire, why don't you just land the plane or step off, leave whatever it is behind, and just step off and see what happens?
Yeah. Well, like with everyone, all of us, we think that it's us, and we take it on as our identity. And a lot of people would say to me, "Well, if I let that go, who will I be? If I don't identify with my thoughts and feelings, who will I be?" And I try to inform them that you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, and we let all that go, then the real you will appear. Brian, thank you, buddy. I think I hear the clock, but thank you. Amazing call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I wish you well.
You too, man.
Thank you.
Amazing. 888-7753-773. There is a line open. When I come back, your super chats and phone calls. The treasure chest is now open on DLive. Back in a moment. Check out my book, Courage to Responsibility. I show you how I was able to overcome anger. The spirit of anger was taken away from me. I had it. And as a result of having anger, I was insecure. I had doubt, worry, fear. I was in a fallen state and didn't know it. And it wasn't until I went and forgave my mother, who tried to turn me away from my father. I forgave my father for not being there and returned back to him. My spirit connected with his spirit, and through him, I was able to return to God. And I have perfect peace. Perfect love casts out anger. And when anger is gone, fear and doubt, worry, insecurity, suicidal thoughts, all of that is gone, and you are free. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or if you want an autographed copy, you can go to my website at rebuildingtheman.com or call 800-411-BOND. Welcome back. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Quick announcement. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report.com from 9 a.m. Pacific time to 11 a.m. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black. Joel Friday TV, Dancing for Jesus, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after Joel Friday TV, The American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby, with energy given to him by God. From at 12 noon today. Amazing. And don't forget, personalized shout-outs. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com. No, Cameo. CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right? 888-775-3773. Let me go to James, a first-time call out of New York. James, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How you doing, buddy?
All is well, James.
I just wanted to reach out to you and say thank you, because this past 3 weeks I've been listening to you, and I feel like I've learned a lot from you so far with dealing with things growing up, and I just want to say thank you. I know I'm emotional. I know emotion's a devil, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's hard to not let it out and show you how much your words mean to me. I listened to you about forgiving my parents. You know, when I was younger, I grew up in the foster care system. And I aged out of it, you know, from like 6 years old to 18. And I held a lot of resentment towards my parents for not, you know, stepping up and coming and getting me out of there and trying to raise me, you know. And this weekend I visited my mom. I told her, I'm sorry for how I was when I was younger, but I also forgave her for everything. I told her to look me in the eye, because she wouldn't look me in the eye because she knows she felt bad about it. And, she helped me. She told me, thank you so much for forgiving me. And I took her to go see my dad. He's in a nursing home. He had some strokes and he was bedridden. And I've been scared to go to see him because I wasn't prepared to, forgive him. And I was always scared I was going to lose my chance because I hear all the time the people who speak on the line, they say, oh, my father died or my mother died. I never had the chance to forgive them. And before I listened to you, I was scared that I was going to steal that chance from myself.
Right. Amazing.
And I did it, and I feel such a weight lifted off of me.
Yeah.
I feel like I can live happier. And, man, I got to thank you. With the thoughts were lies, because I would always be telling myself, you're worthless, you're nothing, you know. You don't deserve to be where you are or have what you have. And when I heard you say that and talk about the silent prayer, I was like, you know what? Thoughts are lies. They come from the devil. And I'm just going to let myself be in a silent prayer and let nothing manipulate me. And I was in peace. I was in silence. I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear God. I didn't hear myself. I just sat in silence. And I was like the first time in my life where I just felt peace, you know?
Amazing. I understand.
And I'm just really grateful I came across you. And I'm sorry I've been talking a lot, but I just had to let you know how important you've been a part of my life with the short time I've been listening to you.
How old are you, James?
I'm 33.
Nice. If you stay with it, James, I'm telling you the truth. If you stay with it, it's just going to get better and clearer and better and clearer, and it's going to blow your mind, man. There are no words to express that the love that God has for us all and the freedom and the perfect peace that come with it. And at age 33, you are blessed to be waking up at such an early age.
Yes, sir. I already feel it. I feel I've been letting go of anger. I don't get upset anymore. And then when I'm even thinking about getting angry, I'm able to check it right away. It's like before I feel like if I was getting angry, I would get worked up and I would be upset that I have to deal with anger. But now I feel like when I'm getting angry, I'd be like, don't do that. That's not helpful. And I'm able to check it before it even gets to a point where I get worked up. And is it making a difference in my life?
And now that you're not identifying with the spirit of anger, which is evil, by the way, and the nature of Satan, now that you're no longer identifying with it, if you never identify with it again, if it should come up, just watch it, check it, as you said. But don't call it you, because it is not you. It has never been you. You just thought it was you. And it will be taken away from your body, your mind, and your body. It'll be done with. Just never identify anymore with it. And that's part of the ego death that you're going to have to go through now. And when it happens, just let it pass. Know that it's not you. And you'll be fine. All those spirits will be taken away from you.
Amazing.
Amazing, Jane. Well, stay with it. And stay with the silent prayer, because you want to always be conscious. You want a conscious life, not an unconscious life. You want a conscious life, and you can have it if you work on it.
Yes, sir.
Amazing, James.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you taking the call.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling. Call me again.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye now. I'm telling you, folks, every human being on this side of heaven have to go through this. They're going through hell, and only a few want to overcome hell. I understand that, but if you want to overcome your hell that's in you, you can. It's up to you. It really is up to you. Or you can stay in your hell. No sweat off God's back, Christ's back, nor mine. You're welcome to stay in your hell, but you can do like James. You can overcome your hell. It's up to you. Philip, there's one line open, 888-775-3773. Philip is a first-time call out of Missouri. Philip, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse Lee, how are you doing, sir?
All is well, Philip.
Good deal, good deal. I had a question. I've been doing a silent prayer real quick with my girlfriend right at the time. It's amazing. I just have a question. When you say all thoughts are lies, there's some good thoughts. How do I say this? Okay, there's a lot of decisions in the day. Which ones? It can't be all, can it?
Did you say that there are some good thoughts?
Well, there's some thoughts that are decision-making process. If you have a thought, you got to make money. Where do I draw the line?
Those are practical thoughts. That's fine. Those are tools that you function with on this earth, but you don't live by them. Let's say you got to make money. You go out and get a job. Once you get a job, you don't have to think about making money anymore. You have the job. Those are practical thoughts.
Okay, and when I'm thinking about marrying this woman I'm with, and a lot of thoughts come to my mind. I didn't know if some of these thoughts are coming from God or they're coming from Satan.
And can you give me an example of thinking about marrying her?
Yes, sir. I honestly have been thinking all the bad things that could come along with the marriage and all of the good things that could come along with the marriage.
Are you guys like what for an example?
Well, for example, I'm thinking, you know, I make a pretty good amount of money. I have a great job. What if this woman in 2-3 years turns out to be evil and I just miscalculated her and I thought she was amazing. And come to find out, you know, I've seen it happen before. So I'm trying to think, where do I draw the line? Should I say that good thoughts, she's amazing. I'm going into my future, Jesse.
Right. Are you living with her or is she living with you?
She's living with me.
And why?
Well, because I asked her to, and I really do want to get married. And I just want to make sure I'm making the right decision. But when all thoughts are lies, it's, you know, I don't know if it's my thoughts, God's thoughts, or the devil's thoughts.
Well, none of those are God's thoughts, that's for sure.
You mean living with her?
About what would happen if this happened, or if this happened, she, you know, making good money, and this happened, what's going to happen, right? Here's what I recommend so you know for sure.
Okay.
And it's up to you to take the advice, but is this a way for you to know for sure?
Okay.
Before you marry her, don't live together and no sex for a year.
No sex for a year, okay.
And don't live with her for a year, no sex.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes. I think that's going to be, well, that's going to be hard.
Why?
you know, I don't know. I can do it. I don't know. You think she'd stick around?
If she doesn't, then you know that's not the woman to marry.
Okay. I like it, Jesse.
Why do you say it would be hard to live without, well, you still can date her, just sex. Don't sex her or marry her. I mean, you'll live with her.
Yeah, we have great sex. I mean, I'm talking my way out of it. Like, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I do. But yeah, on the thoughts.
Why you say it's going to be hard to live without living together for a year and no sex? Why would that be difficult?
Well, we have good sex or great sex, and that's, you know,
So what you're saying, you're not in love with her, you're in sex with her, right?
Well, I think I'm in love with her, and I think we have great sex, but you could be right. I don't want that to be the basis of the, you know, the relationship.
Why do you think you're in love with her?
I think because we both believe in God, and we see life fairly, pretty much the same, and I feel like I'm in that right place at the right time.
And why do you feel like you're in love with her, though? Why do you think you're in love with her? You just told me about being in sex with her.
It's a feeling. I can't really describe it. It's just a feeling. I feel like that's the place to be.
But you've had that same feeling with other women.
Not this same feeling.
How was it different?
I can't describe it. It's hard to describe.
Well, why do you wonder if she would go away if you didn't live with her for a year in no sense?
That's a good question. It goes back to the thoughts. My brain thinks a lot.
Yeah.
The silent prayer helps out, but that's where I'm just wondering what thoughts to believe. You know, I said financial, but when it comes to that, I don't know if I should be thinking.
You should.
You're saying doing it, but I'm still thinking about it.
Right. You should have a wait and see. And if she stays, you will see that maybe this is the right woman. If she leave, you will see that it wasn't the right woman.
That makes sense. I like that, Jesse.
So I highly recommend you give it a good year. No sex and no living together. You still date her, but and don't spend your money on her or anything. Just maybe take out to dinner sometime or whatever, but don't buy her clothes, don't pay her rent. Don't do any of those things for her so you can see the real deal. Because right now, you don't see the real deal. You're looking through, you're seeing her through thoughts and emotions, and all thoughts and emotions are lies. They're never right.
That makes sense. I like it. Jesse, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All the time. Thank you so much. So have a good rest of the day.
I wish you well. So give it a good try. No sex, and don't have sex now because she may get pregnant.
Absolutely.
She'll find out that you're about to put her out there on her own so you can see she'll get pregnant and you really have a problem on your hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I wish you well, Philip.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773. Tony, a first-time caller out of New York. Tony, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Peterson. How are you doing today?
All is well, Tony.
Hey, I found you in the last couple of weeks. I saw you on the Your Mom's House podcast and started going down the rabbit hole listening to you each day. And I think you bring so much love and wisdom to the world. So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
My question is, thank you. My question is, I'm trying to do your system right now as far as I'm doing the silent prayer. It's really helping. I'm starting to see all the thoughts and emotions as lies. I'm starting to observe them and be a witness. Praise be to God. But the next thing I'm trying to do is forgive my parents and my mom. I'm just trying to sort that all out because it's a mess.
How old are you?
I'm 31, Jesse.
Okay, and when you say it's a mess, what do you mean?
Well, just complicated. It's like the main aggravating thing is it's Woman Monday, right? It's my sister growing up, my older sister. Somehow that got in the mix, and everything's been so complicated with that and my parents. And basically, I guess my parents just didn't know how to handle her. And she was a wild child, and for some reason I was in the middle of it all, and I was like the translator with her, and I don't know. I mean, like, it's not my parents weren't that bad, you know? It's not like they were. I mean, I feel like I basically forgave them in my 20s, and I stopped doing drugs, and I stopped doing all this type of stuff and trying to live right. And I talk to them now and everything. So my relationship with them isn't that bad, but I guess it's my sister that stressed me out the most. I mean, she's living out west. She's dancing on a pole. She's doing drugs. She's talking about astrology, all that other stuff. She's always trying to mess with me and call me, and I'm the only person that really she talks to. She won't talk to my dad. She talks a little to my mom. And it's just I don't know. It seems like she's the bigger problem than my parents, Jesse.
And so she's a problem because she's calling you without what she's doing? How is she a problem? If she live out west and you live in New York, how is that a problem for you?
I don't know. Maybe I inherited something from my mother where I just worry about her and stuff.
And why do you worry about her?
I guess it's a habit since I was young.
And
because I feel like she does the wrong things and everything like that.
What does it have to do with you? She's a grown woman. She can do what she wants.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense, you know, but it's just, do I got to, like, forgive her to try to move past this? It's deep in my psyche.
You got to forgive your mother for dumping her load on you. and making you a parent and you wasn't ready to be one. Your mother's evil. You got to forgive her for doing that to you, recreating her image. Because you got the mindset and emotion of your mother because she made you responsible for your sister, or at least didn't prevent it from happening. And your father didn't stop it either. And they were wrong for doing that to you. That was evil. You're not responsible for your sister. And whatever she does as an adult, that's on her. If she want to live in her hell and destroy herself, she has a right to do that. God's not going to stop her. And you don't have a right to stop her. You're not God, and you don't have a right to worry about anyone. You're playing mother, and that's evil.
I am. And sometimes father, maybe, too.
Yeah, but that's evil for you to play that role. You're not God.
So you think I should just forgive my parents for this? Sounds like this is the main problem.
Forgive your mother. Well, see what it is that you resent them for, because I'm sure there's more than just that. But forgive them for dumping their load on you. They were wrong for that. That should never have happened. And let your sister know that you don't want to hear about her troubles anymore. Tell her, go live her life. Whatever she wants to do, that's on her. But you don't want to hear about it.
Wow. Amazing. All right, Jesse. All right, that makes sense. I guess I'm just going to forgive my parents like that and just keep them moving, man. It's tough to do, though. We get used to living in our house. I'm used to worrying about my sister and thinking my life is complicated.
But you know
what I'm used to.
I know what you mean, but it's hell. It's time for you to overcome that hell and not let your sister or anyone dump their hell on you. You're not your sister's keeper. You're not. Let your sister live her hell until if she's ready to overcome it, she needs to forgive her parents because she's totally rebelling against them, and that's why she's living in the hell, because she has unforgiveness in her heart. Satan is her God. And if you let her around you and bring her around, she's going to destroy you.
Well, it's funny. I mean, that's me trying to help her and everything like that. If she calls and everything, that's what ends up happening. It's actually, even before I listened to you, I pretty much intuited that that's what she needed to do, because it's like she won't talk to my dad and all this other stuff, and she holds all this resentment. I even told her, I'm like, you just got to let it go, man. Just forgive him or something, da-da-da. But she won't listen to me, and so every time I try to give her the right advice, you know, it just turns into some sort of crazy argument, because she's like the most womany woman you ever womaned, you know, whoever womaned. She's going to take any criticism as like some sort of crazy personal thing, and it's
so
like,
why you keep arguing
really
with
hard to deal with her.
Why you keep arguing with the devil then? Just give her the finger and let her live it to hell. Because you're making it worse. You're like the government. You're taking care of her by hearing her mess. And she loved dumping her mess on you and make her stay in it longer.
Oh, I'm the welfare state.
Yeah.
Shit. And I don't like the welfare state. I'm not.
But yet you act like the welfare.
Wow, it's really clicking for me. All right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to forgive my parents for all that. I'm going to do my best to tell my sister, you know.
Not do your best, do it. Just say, look, I've told you, I'm giving you my best advice. You can overcome, you can stop being evil. But if you don't want to, that's up to you, but I'm done. Don't call me anymore.
All right. I'll try. I will do that.
Do you give
Thank
her
you
money?
I used to.
I figure that.
Yeah, not in years, Jesse. Yeah, I mean, I was a little more beta in my 20s. I haven't given her money in probably 2 or 3 years.
Your sister hate your weakness.
Yeah, and I started telling her no last week, too, because she was calling me about doing something for her, and I was like, listen, I want to help you, but I can't do that.
Don't even say I want to help you. Just say no. You don't owe her an explanation at all. It's time to grow up, man.
I'm trying, Jesse. I mean, I've been off drugs for about 6 months now. It was pot. That was my thing. I was a pot guy. I stopped that 6 months ago. I was. I'm doing a new life right now, and I am acting right and praying and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, do the silent prayer morning and night, and watch those thoughts. You're not your thought; they all lie. Go and face your mother. Forgive her. She's evil. Forgive your father. He's weak. And God will forgive you. Your whole world is just going to light up for you, man. It'll get better. Stay with it. Stay with it. But don't, as of right now, be done with your sister. Just don't be angry at her.
You're right. But, all right, but, I'll call you back and tell you how it goes.
All right, let me know.
Thank you, brother.
All right, buddy. 888. Oh, no, we're out of time, huh? Are we able to get Super Chats in real fast?
A couple, baby.
Okay.
Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Aries 1 with a couple of diamonds, no message. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing Asia bought a coffee. I just recently found out my husband was lying, so I asked him, why did he lie? He's refusing to answer. When I ask, he tells me to leave him alone.
Nice.
My assumption is because he's scared of me, just because like he's scared of his mama. What do you think? Now I can't trust him to be the leader I thought he was.
I would back off, work on yourself, and you're not supposed to trust people anyway, so you get what you deserve. And don't bug him. Just back off, let him live in his hell, you work on you. All right? So you never fall into that situation again. Thank you.
And don't assume. Don't get in your head.
Right.
Mine's lying to you.
Your mind lying to you why he won't tell you. He promised something you don't want to hear. Because if he told you, you're just going to get worse and destroy your marriage.
Riley J.M. bought 5 coffees. I had a neighbor, Willie Mae, who was about 73 years old. She was black. I used to go over to her house when I was about 8 years old. She made me and my sisters fried green tomatoes. Pretty tasty, I'd say.
Amazing. Thank you.
I asked her who she voted for as president. This was 2008. She told me she doesn't want to discuss her politics with anyone. She doesn't discuss it. I knew she voted for Obama. She didn't want to admit it for some reason. She black. Ha ha. Says Riley Jam.
Amazing.
I don't know if you know that, though.
No. Thank you.
Shout out to Aries 1, WD41, Cactus Eater Bear, Zealous Hermit, and the rest of the D-Live supporters.
Thank y'all.
We'll read your Cash Apps and Twitches tomorrow, guys.
Thank you all very much. Get on that straight and narrow, folks. You will not regret it. Take the journey by yourself. You can't travel with anyone on this trip. God is with you. Drop the anger. Forgive your mama and your daddy. And live your life. All right, Rick out of Hampton and other calls. I'm out of time. The Hate Report is coming up now. The Hate Report.com. And after the Hate, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV and the American Anchor Baby. Energy given to him by God at 12 noon. Take care, folks. Thank you so much for your support. I'll be back tomorrow. The Lord is willing. And the creek don't rise. Country and Western Tuesday. Amazing! Take care. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer, and I want you to start doing it. You just download it, get the points of how to do it, and then after a while, you just do it on your own. It's going to point you in the right direction that your life will be returned to you from God. He will give you your life back because anyone and all people who has anger, they're not themselves. You are the person that you are angry at. That's why it's so important to get to know yourself so that you can see who you're angry at. And if you're doing the hooping and hollering prayers and things like that, some people get up, oh, praise the Lord, hoop and holler, bless my mama, bless my daddy. Continue to do it. Do both. You will see if you want to stay with the hoop and hollering or do you want to be still and know God. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why you think you tick? It didn't go your way. Or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts make you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darnest thing I ever seen. But it's amazing to see it. So relax.